thinking, why, Superman's dead, lizard in my head.
All right, so Our Lady Peace getting set to play Oxford Stomp this Friday, along with Black Crowes, Serena Ryder, and Kyle McKierney. Now, is this your first time playing a Stampede-related event, and are you planning to take in Stampede while you're here?
We've played the Coca-Cola stage. We have played the Oxford Stomp before. Yes, I will take in as much of the Stampede as possible, and it is our first time playing with the Black Crowes.
So OLP has put out 10 studio albums, one live album, and two compilation albums since 1994's debut album, Naveed. Now, talk to me a little bit about some of the keys to the band's longevity, given that it's now almost 30 years.
Can we not say that, Todd, please?
You and I are close to the same age, so you don't get too much sympathy for me. So.
All right. Well, like, you know, I think it's you have to try, and we continue to make records when we feel like we have something to say. To our benefit and our detriment, we've never made a record that really sounds the same, but we do have a singer in Rain, Maida, that has a unique voice. So that allows us to step out into different avenues creatively, musically speaking. And so it's allowed us to keep it fresh. We have had a couple of member changes over the years. And that, of course, makes it fresh because it's, a new person, new eyes, new soul, new ears, fresh perspective, right? So the band morphs and changes over time.
Now, you came into the band in 1995 following Naveed and then the release of 97's Clumsy. Now, Clumsy, I mean, that was a pretty big album for you guys. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, what it was like for you as a newcomer coming in during that really successful time in the band's history.
Eye of the Storm is the best way to put it, you know. I'd actually turned down Rain and I guess unofficially Mike back in about 92 when he was just looking to put a band together because I was going to a school in a different city. And then when I came in, you know, I went from trying to get my band to do rehearsals, doing Black Crowes covers, actually, my old band, and then all of a sudden, within seven shows, we're opening up in arenas across America, and it was just a whirlwind. It took me a couple of years to get myself grounded, I think.
I want to talk a little bit about the new album, Spiritual Machines 2, which came out, I think it was this past January. Now, the first Spiritual Machine concept album in 2000, it wasn't as successful as the previous three albums, but it received a lot of praise from fans and critics as being one of your best and most artistically creative albums. So so far the reviews for Spiritual Machines 2 have been pretty good. So is it the concept that resonates with listeners, or is it the music, or is it both?
Todd, that's a great question that I can't answer.
Okay.
Because it's not up to me to answer. I can tell you we took more risks lyrically, obviously, but the risks came from a really honest place. I mean, in 99, Mike Turner brought this shiny book by Ray Kurzweil into the studio, and we all read it, and Rain was really inspired to turn Spiritual Machines, that book, The Age of Spiritual Machines, into a concept record. And I don't know, it really was the first time we had critical acclaim. I think, it's just, I don't know, it's like seeing a movie where you go and you have a great conversation afterwards about what does it mean. Maybe it resonates on that level, like it makes you think just a little bit differently. And I think for years, Rain and I have been loosely talking about the possibility of a follow-up to that record. And with being in the pandemic, we thought maybe it's just, and not only being in a pandemic, but also with where we're at technologically, it felt like an honest time to revisit that. And serendipitously, Ray Kurzweil has a new book coming out, and he loaned his voice and some of his new predictions to our new record. And it everything sort of came together in a way that we hadn't really expected. And maybe this is why it's resonating with people.
Now, speaking of the pandemic, I want to revisit the last couple of years during COVID. Now, a lot of artists that I interview, they talk about opposites in that they are either using the downtime to write a ton of music and really explore their craft, or they did absolutely nothing music-wise and just kind of took some downtime. Where do you guys fall into that?
I hate to be a politician, but kind of right down the middle, you know.
Okay.
We did do the record in the middle of the pandemic, which was odd and rewarding at the same time. I mean, there's not a better feeling in the world when you're really on a higher level with musicians in a room in real time.
Yeah.
But because we couldn't do that, trying to recreate that excitement while sharing files across the world was an interesting challenge. So there was quite a bit of music being played by all of us. And then for me too, I just spent as much time, even in the winter, outdoors, like hiking. And I know even when we really couldn't be together, you know, you were allowed to go out and have outdoor activities. So I did a lot of that. So I worked on the physical, my physical shape, which I think helped the mental state.
Not to put an expiry date on you or the band or anything like that, but if you had to look back on your career with OLP, what's the number one moment that comes to mind?
Every record, in a way, has been a big success just to get something that people actually want to talk to us about. I could maybe look at, you know, Maple Leaf Gardens when we played that, because when I was 10 years old, I told my mom I was going to play there one day. But really, and this is going to sound a bit cliched, but I think, but you know, a great show is not when a band plays really well to an audience delivering their songs. It's about when the fourth wall comes down and it becomes about a room of people making music together.
Sure.
So that's what keeps the songs fresh. That's how we can play these songs after so many years, because every room changes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so those nights, especially after having that taken away from us for 2 years, those nights that we've been discovering this spring and summer have reaffirmed to me the special bond that I have with music, because I was a fan of music for as long as I can remember. It's saved me many times. It has made me sad. It's made me happy. And to be able to share those emotions on a nightly basis with a bunch of people in rooms making music together, those are the highlights, and they continue to be highlights.
Finally, what are the plans for the rest of 2022? Now, I see you've got a handful of tour dates in Canada through September. Are there going to be more dates, maybe back in the studio? What's up with all that?
Not sure about the studio yet.
Yep.
I know we have been doing some writing individually, but nothing together yet. I think the way we look at a studio possibility is do we have something to say? Both musically and lyrically. And if we don't, then we wait till we do. And if that doesn't come, well, then maybe we don't make another record. I don't know. But we are going to try and take this hologram tour that we did in the month of June. We're going to try to find a way to take it to the East Coast and hopefully down into the States.
All right. Fair. Well, you are done. I hope you have a lot of fun with the Black Crowes. I think that's going to be a real blast for you guys. If they're you know, an inspiration to you, or you know, if you're just fans of the Black Crowes, I think that's going to be really cool. And I mean, have fun at Oxford Stomp. Previous years, it's always been a whole lot of fun. So,
yeah, it's a great spot to play. Thanks, Todd. I appreciate it, man.